This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Abduhu wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise are for Allah. We praise Him. We thank Him. We ask Him for His help. And we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger, Mabad. First of all, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure to see your beautiful faces, alhamdulillah. May Allah reward all of you for coming. And may Allah increase us in ilm, inshallah, the beneficial knowledge, ya Rab, and help us to act upon it, inshallah. So inshallah, as I promised you last week, we dedicate this lesson to speaking about the fiqh of Ramadan and the fiqh of fasting. So I'm going to go through some points, and then if you've got any other questions you want to ask, I'm going to leave that for you to ask whatever questions you want, okay? A lot of people have questions regarding menstruation and stuff like that relating to Ramadan, so if you want to ask any of those kind of questions as well, we can talk about that too. But what I'm going to do, because, you know, it's a good to remind ourselves of the rulings on fasting, because the fact is, you know, for any act of worship, every act of worship is built on two pillars in order for it to be accepted. The first one is to have ikhlas of Allah, to be sincere and do that purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one is to do it in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we want to perfect our fasting for Ramadan, you know, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan, then it's not enough just to be really enthusiastic to want to fast. We also need to know what are the rulings on fasting and what are the things that we've been commanded to do regarding fasting so that we can perfect our fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. So that's why it's important for us to go through the rulings. I'm going to go through the most important rulings, inshallah, today. And if there's anything else you want to talk about, you know, relating to fasting, we can talk about that as well, inshallah. But even in that. Okay, so basically, you know, if we talk about what is the meaning of al-siyam, just to understand what is the meaning of al-siyam, it means imsak in Arabic, which means like withholding. So that's where it, you know, it gets the name. Like, for example, when we talk about a psalm means to, you know, in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means to refrain from doing anything that breaks the fast. Okay, refrain from anything that breaks the fast from dawn until Maghrib, let's say it like that because it doesn't sound very clear. Okay, so from the time of Fajr until the sun goes down, we have to refrain from doing anything that breaks the fast. But before saying that, we need to firstly talk about the intention. Because in order for our fast to be accepted, okay, in order for our fast to be accepted in Ramadan, we have to first of all have an intention in our heart. For fasting, the intention has to be done before the adhan for Fajr, or the night before. So if in the night before, you know it's going to be Ramadan the next day, it's enough for you just having your heart that tomorrow it's going to be Ramadan, I'm going to be fasting. You know, if you're inshallah, we should all try to wake up for suhoor. It's not wajib, but it's definitely a sunnah mustahabba, like it's a recommended mu'akkada, like, you know, confirmed sunnah. So if you're waking up for suhoor, that's the intention. Not to say it orally, because there's no authentic report that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever said the intention orally. Okay, so the intention is in the heart. That's the place. And all the intention means is just to have, you know, the goal, like you put it in your heart that you've got that goal that you're going to fast the next day. So that's your intention. So you have to have the intention, and then like I said, you have to refrain from doing anything that breaks the fast throughout the day, from the time of before, for the time of the adhan of Fajr, like the call to pray for Fajr, all the way up until the sunset, when the disc of the sun, let's describe what is the sunset. It's when the disc of the sun goes down below the horizon. So once the disc, the actual disc of the sun, has gone below the horizon, that's the time to break the fast. So it's not the redness in the sky, that's not what we're talking about. You don't have to wait for the redness in the sky to disappear. It's just the actual disc of the sun. Okay, so that's basically the conditions of fasting. So when someone is fasting, they're not allowed to do certain things, which we're going to come to. And no one should break the fast in Ramadan except a person has an excuse. Okay, so we'll talk about that too. Who are the people who have excuses? But it's not allowed to break the fast without an excuse, such as like menstruation or postnatal bleeding. That's not just an excuse, like you're not even allowed to fast if you've got menstruation or postnatal bleeding. But, you know, like if someone's a traveller or someone's sick, those are excuses for not fasting. But then they make up for the days later, which we'll come to, inshallah. So, I mean, there is a Sahih hadith that mentions a warning on the person who does not fast without an excuse. This is for, you know, the Muslim who's reached the age of puberty. Once the child has reached the age of puberty, fasting becomes obligatory upon them unless there's an excuse. So if somebody did not fast Ramadan without an excuse, then as I said, there's this authentic narration, which is, it's really actually a very disturbing picture that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he has seen that he was shown while in fact he was sleeping. But we know that, you know, whatever the Messenger of Allah saw while sleeping is part of wahi, it's part of revelation. And so in this dream, he says how, you know, while he was sleeping, two men came and took him by the arm and brought him to like a cragged mountain, and they told him to climb up, and they said, I can't, because it's very, you know, rocky and very steep and very, very difficult. But they said, we will make it easy for you. And so they helped him to climb up to the top of the mountain, and then he heard loud voices when he was up there. And so he said, what are those voices? What is that loud sound I can hear? Disturbing sounds. And so he said, this is the howling of the people of Jahannam. Wa'udhu billah. This is what he was told. This is the howling of the people of Jahannam. And then he saw a sight which was very disturbing. He said he saw people hanging by their hamstrings, which is like the top of the legs, with the sides of their mouths torn and blood, you know, my protectors pouring out of their mouths. And then he was told that these are the people who used to break their fast before it was time. So these are people who used to break their fast, like they didn't care about fasting Ramadan. They're Muslims who didn't care about fasting Ramadan. They took it easy. They didn't realize it's a major sin not to fast Ramadan without an excuse. So if that's a person, and you know, some of the ulama commented, they said, if this is a punishment for the person who, you know, missed a day or so of Ramadan carelessly and negligently without any excuse, then what about that person who doesn't fast at all? May Allah protect us. What about the person who doesn't fast at all? So that's, you know, a really scary hadith. SubhanAllah, we have to realize that, you know, not fasting is, you know, from the major sins. Someone did it intentionally and without an excuse. But we should also add here too that don't forget that if someone did that in their past, that doesn't mean to say that now they're definitely going to have that punishment. Because we know Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, say to my ibad, my servants, who have oppressed themselves and wronged themselves by disobeying Allah in the past, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the rahmah of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. He forgives all sins. And that He is the most merciful and the most forgiving. So even if someone in their past used to miss Ramadan, days of Ramadan without an excuse, of course if they were praying they should make up for those days. But the point is, if you did those kind of things in the past, if you made tawbah to Allah, then inshallah we know that if you were sincere in your tawbah, Allah will accept it from you, and you won't be punished in the next life, as long as you made that sincere tawbah. So that's the important point to make here, inshallah. Okay, so let's move on. And we'll start talking about, first of all, talk about the things that break the fast. And then, inshallah, if you've got any questions, we'll cover anything else. So basically, as for those things that break the fast, there are three things that break the fast, which are the original things that break the fast. And these original things are what's mentioned in the Quran, in Ayat al-Baqarah, ayah number 187, where Allah Ta'ala says, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. So in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala, He mentions the three things that originally break the fast. And they are eating, drinking, and sexual intercourse, like the marital relations, sexual intercourse. So these are the three things that originally break the fast. And then the other things that break the fast, in general, a lot of them stem on from these things. So let's talk about them one by one. So first of all, eating and drinking. So what do we define by eating and drinking? Just to make it clear. So when we talk about eating, it doesn't just mean food that nourishes. It means taking anything solid into the hollow part of the throat via the mouth. Okay, so eating includes taking anything into the mouth that enters, you know, that solid that enters into the throat. So if somebody, like let's just say for argument's sake, if somebody swallowed a bead on purpose while fasting Ramadan, or you know, what else? Like, I'm just trying to think of what else you could do. Yeah, a stone or something like that. Just say for argument's sake, just so you understand it clearly, this would break the fast if they did it intentionally. Okay, you can't just say, oh, it wasn't food, doesn't matter. No, it's still something that is solid that entered the mouth into the throat. And then the other thing is drinking also. So any type of liquid that enters the hollow part of the throat into via the mouth, this also breaks the fast. Okay, and it's agreed by consensus of the ulama that eating that doesn't nourish the body, it still causes the fast to be broken. So that's by ijma' al-ulama. That it's not necessarily that it has to be something that nourishes the body, but if it enters the mouth and enters into the throat, then it's still considered to break the fast. That's the first thing. Now the other thing that's added here is that something that enters into the stomach through the nostrils. Something that enters into the stomach through the nostrils. Meaning that, you know, if someone was to place like medicine into their nostrils and that enters the throat, then this is also like considered to be something that breaks the fast. Why? Because the nostrils are one of the openings that leads to the stomach. They're one of the openings that leads directly to the stomach. And the proof for this is in the hadith narrated by Laqith ibn Sabara, and the hadith is in a Daraqutni and it's a sahih hadith. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Like when you do istinshaq, which is when you take the note, like when you do wudu and you take the water up into your nose, you're supposed to like snuffle it up into your nasal passage, right? But when he says that you should do this, you know, like when you normally take wudu, this is something you should concentrate on, you know, taking the water up into the nasal passage, like nostrils. But when you're fasting, he said, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Unless you're fasting, then we should avoid taking the water like right up into the top of our noses in case the water goes up through the nasal passage down into the throat. Okay, so that's the one time we don't exaggerate in our wudu. So the nose is considered a passage to the stomach. And so that's why, due to that, that which passes through the nostrils into the throat is considered to break the fast. And you can set for yourself, ask yourself the question, when someone isn't able to take solids by mouth, how do they feed them? They feed them through a tube through the nose, right? So that's why, you know, the nose is a direct route straight to the stomach. If a person needed nasal drops while they're fasting, nasal drops could be okay, but it depends. If you can taste it in your throat, then you have to avoid them. But if you know that they're definitely the nasal drops or the nasal medicine you're taking is going to reach your throat, okay, you've got two options. Like if you really, really have to take this medicine by nose, then you'll have to break your fast and not fast, and you'll come under ruling of a sick person. But as long as if you're fasting and you know that these, you know, that what you're taking by nose is going to enter into your throat and also obviously will enter the stomach, then you have to avoid taking that during the day while fasting. Okay, so what I would like you to do while we're talking is if you have questions, just write them down and then we'll take all the questions at the end so we don't kind of disrupt the train of thought. Okay, so as we're going, if you've got questions what I'm talking about, jot it down and then when we come to the end we'll go through it inshallah. Okay, so this ruling is only in relation to the mouth and nose. Okay, as for entering through another passage other than the mouth and nose, this would not be considered to break the fast. I'll just mention here, unless it's something nutritious. If it's something nutritious, like I've heard of these suppositories that you can get that have nutrition in them. Some people were going to try and cheat when they're fasting and they thought, well, we'll use these because you won't feel hungry if you use these, apparently. I heard about it. I can't hear about weird things when people ask the questions. But anyway, apparently there are these suppositories that, you know, you use them. Apparently they actually feed you while you're fasting or something. So something like that, it's not, even though it's not a normal passage to enter the stomach, but because it's something that nourishes the body, it would break the fast. That's why, like, a drip would break the fast, even though it's not something that is entering by the mouth and nose, but it's something that directly nourishes the body. So that leads us to the next category. So eating and drinking is one category, and then the second category is everything that comes under the same ruling as eating and drinking. All right, everything that comes under the same ruling as eating and drinking, and I've already given you some examples of that. But one of those examples is, you know, anything that nourishes the body in the same way that food and drink nourishes the body, then this also is considered to break the fast. Okay, we now come to the next category, which is intentionally vomiting. All right, intentionally vomiting. And we often get this question because some sisters, like, you know, as you know, they get morning sickness. It's a very common thing. So we notice we said intentionally vomiting. So if someone's fasting and they got, you know, they felt nauseous and they start to vomit, that does not break their fast, okay? Unless it's, if it's difficult for them, they can always break their fast because they're getting, like, dehydrated. Then they come to a sick person, right? But the ruling here is that if they did vomit, it doesn't break their fast unless they made themselves vomit. Okay, because in general, I'll give you two guidelines to what breaks the fast. Whatever adds to the body in the same way as food and drink breaks the fast. And whatever subtracts from the body or takes away from the body in the same way as, you know, sexual intercourse, which we'll come to, weakens the body, then this is also something that's considered to break the fast. And that's what they said, intentional vomiting. And that's according to a hadith too, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith sahih, whoever vomits intentionally has to make up the fast. And whoever is overcome and vomits doesn't have to do anything. So we know that that's a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the one who vomits intentionally is the one only who has to make up for the fast. Okay, so the other thing that obviously breaks the fast, as we mentioned in the ayah, is sexual intercourse. To intentionally have marital relations during the day in Ramadan, this is something that breaks the fast, and this is a major thing if someone does this in Ramadan. It's not like the other things. Like if you did something else in Ramadan, like eating or drinking intentionally while fasting, of course they're all sins. It's all like a major sin to purposely break the fast. But what would be upon you is to only make up for the day along with tawbah for the other things. But in relation to sexual intercourse, there's a special ruling on it, okay? And that is, if someone did this in the day, in Ramadan, intentionally, you know, and knowing the ruling, then the ruling on it is they have to, first of all, not only they have to make tawbah, and not only they have to make up the day, but they also have to, first of all, the ruling is what was to free a slave, and obviously that's not, we're not able to do that. So then after that, the next thing is they have to fast 60 days consecutively. 60 days consecutively. Okay? And like, now what does that mean if you're a woman and you like complied to that with your husband, you're complicit in that, then what you have to do, because obviously you have menstruation, you would fast when you have your menstruation, and as soon as you finish your menstruation, you have to keep on fasting. That's how it would be consecutive for you. So 60 days consecutively. If a person is not able to do that due to a health reason or something like that, it's too difficult for them, then they have to feed 60 poor people for each day that they have to make up. It's a kafara, like it's an expiation for that particular violation of Ramadan. Okay, so also based upon this as well, which comes under this, which is important for us to talk about, because a lot of people don't talk about this, it's a sensitive issue, is masturbation or foreplay that causes semen to be ejaculated. Alright? If someone engaged in masturbation or foreplay in Ramadan while fasting and it causes the semen to come out, then it breaks the fast and they have to make up for the day, and they should also make tawbah, as we said, but not, they don't have to do 60-day fasting. The 60-day fasting is only for actual sexual intercourse, where the male, I'll be honest, I'll just say it, like the male private part enters the female private part, even if they didn't ejaculate. Alright? Sexual intercourse in Islam is when the male private part enters the female private part, even if they didn't ejaculate. We have to say that because some people think, oh, it's okay, we didn't ejaculate, so we didn't do sexual intercourse. You understand? But that's what the ruling is. It doesn't mean you have to ejaculate, alright? And you can see the wisdom of that, because like masturbation or, you know, causing ejaculation to occur, if the women, man and woman, like the husband and wife, are having foreplay and then they, you know, actual semen comes out due to that. We're not talking about madi. Don't get confused with madi. I have to explain a few things just to be... Not to make it, I'm sorry it's sensitive, but it's very important to understand. If people understand properly, they'll either overreact or underreact. So for example, when, you know, a man and woman may be like caressing each other or something like that, it's normal to have some liquid come down. That's called madi. Alright, that's like the, what do you call it in English? I forget what you call it. Anyway, it's called madi. It's like, like lubrication, thank you. Yeah, like this. So that doesn't break the fast, according to the correct opinion, okay? But what we're talking about is actual ejaculation, which is the same thing that happens when intercourse occurs. Then if they got that, then this is what breaks the fast. Now, if it happened to the man, not the woman, the man would have to only make up for the fast, not the woman, just to make that clear as well, unless she also ejaculated. In that case, she has to also make up the fast too. I have to be very clear here so everyone understands everything. We can see this also from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a hadith Qudsi, in which of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that Allah has said, "Yadaru ta'amahu wa shahwatahu min ajli." That the Messenger of Allah told us that Allah has said that when a servant is fasting, he leaves his food and his desire min ajli. He leaves his desire, you know, due to me. Like, this is something you give up for Allah while you're fasting. Okay, so this is the ruling on that. And also the other thing is too that, you know, you can see that when ejaculation occurs, it's something that weakens the body. So again, I said to you, there's two basic things to know whether something breaks the fast. The first is when it adds to the body and nourishes it, like the food and drink. The second is when it weakens the body in the same way sexual intercourse weakens. This also, you can see, breaks the fast. Alright? Okay, another thing that many scholars have reviewed that breaks the fast due to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hijama. Okay, is hijama. Which is when, now to explain hijama, the proper hijama which, you know, alhamdulillah, people have revived the sunnah now. A lot more people are doing it now, which is that they actually cut, they make an incision into the skin, and they draw out blood. Okay, so it's not just, you know, when you, some cultures, like some of the Indonesians, for example, they just put cups on the skin and no blood actually comes out. That's not considered to be hijama. We're talking about when certain cups are placed, for example, on the back or certain places of the body, an incision is made and actual blood is withdrawn out of the body. So as for this, the Messenger of Allah, there's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Afdar al-hajimi wal-mahjum," that the one who gets the hijama done, he has his fast broken. This hadith is considered to be Sahih hadith in Abu Dawud. And again, if we see that, you know, hijama is something that weakens the body. All right, and this was the view of Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh Ibn Qayyim, and other ulama. They're of the view that the hijama breaks the fast because it's the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam take precedence over certain actions he may have done, because there might have been reasons why he did those certain actions. Okay, so to be on the safe side, we wouldn't get hijama done during Ramadan. And based upon this hadith, that what ulama have said, that if someone was, for example, to donate blood, that this would also be considered to break the fast. Again, you can see donating blood is something that weakens the body. As for blood tests, if they're just small, they're harmless, inshallah, they don't break the fast. But if it's a large blood test, then you should delay it till night time. Better to delay it till night time or after the time of the fasting time, so that you don't jeopardize your fast, inshallah. Now, if that's if you're doing it by choice, that's if you're doing it by choice, sisters, that you're causing this blood to come out of you by choice. But if it's not by choice, like my nose started to bleed a lot, or I had an accident, may Allah protect us, and a lot of blood came out of me, we won't say that this breaks the fast. There's no proof that bleeding causes the fast to be broken, just to understand that. So it's only you're by choice taking blood out of your body, and it's weakening it in the same way that hijama weakens the body. Okay, and it's similar to what we said about the vomiting, that when you purposely make yourself vomit, it's not the same ruling as the one who accidentally vomits. Okay, everyone understand that so far? Okay, so now I'm going to go through some other things. So we spoke already about injections. Also, you know, if you go to the dentist as well, there's no harm actually in going to the dentist, but you have to be careful to swallow blood. If you accidentally swallow a bit of blood, it's like something that, like, as long as something has to happen by accident and not on purpose, it's not considered to break the fast. All right, it's only if you do it on purpose. But you should be careful not to break, not to swallow it, okay? And then the other, I mean, obviously you normally would delay into any dental appointments, but you might need to go for a particular reason that you can't avoid. So even to get a tooth extracted in Ramadan, if you had to, it doesn't break the fast. All right? Another issue people get waswasa about is saliva. So, like, the scholars are in agreement that saliva does not break the fast. Even if you bring saliva into your, like, mouth and swallow it, that does not break the fast. Because it's not, why? Because it's not food and drink, and it's not entering the mouth. Like, it's already in the mouth. Okay? Another thing that people also worry about is, you know, you might get a cold. Like, we're coming into Ramadan in winter. It's very highly likely we're going to most likely get a cold while we're fasting. So if we do, and you know, you get sometimes mucus coming down the back of your, running down the back of your nose, you don't have to keep worrying that you have to keep on trying to spit it out. It's very difficult for you. So the scholars said this comes under the same ruling as saliva. Okay, but one thing I want to mention here is that, like, don't purposely, I mean, this is horrible to say, but I know it's horrible, some of these top subjects are really horrible, but we have to know the rulings, okay? So if someone was to say, bring that into their mouth and then swallow it, we should avoid that, to be on the safe side, okay? So we, in that case, if it does enter the mouth, spit it out to be on the safe side. Sorry, but like these are human issues that happen, and we need to discuss everything so we're clear on that. All right. What else? If you need to taste the food and there's a need to do that, it's okay, but we shouldn't just do it for nothing. Like, you can't just go, oh, like, I want to have a taste of this. But when we say tasting food, that doesn't mean you don't swallow it. It's just you're putting it on your tongue. The only thing you can taste on the front of your tongue is salt. That's the only thing. So why you'd be doing that is to taste the salt, because you know when you're fasting, it's hard to know how much salt, you know. So that's the only time. Okay, so now let's wrap up by saying that what breaks the fast only does so when you do something on purpose. There's three things, like basically on purpose, knowing it breaks the fast. And also you did it by choice as well. So if someone was forced, like just saying, may Allah protect us all, you had to go to prison, may Allah protect us all, and they forced you to eat while fasting, that wouldn't break your fast because you were forced to eat. Okay, that's an example. Or if you knew, like if you forgot what you were doing, like you just, like even if, I mean, it's amazing, but if you even sat down and ate a whole meal and then remembered that you're supposed to be fasting, your fast still counts, believe it or not. And I always get this question every time, like I get this question, they think that that ruling is only for when you're fasting Ramadan. That ruling applies even when you're fasting voluntary days. Okay, a lot of sisters always ask this question, they say, oh, but I accidentally ate something, can I still fast? The same ruling applies even for sunnah days, even for voluntary fasting, all right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that whoever ate or drank forgetfully, then they should complete their fast because it means that Allah had nourished them. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that for you. But in saying that, as soon as you remember, you don't just like, you keep chewing and swallow and, oh, it's okay. No. Like, of course, as soon as you remember, you spit it out, you rinse your mouth out straight away. If you see someone eating, munching away in Ramadan, you tell them, like sister, I don't remember you're fasting, or if you know they're fasting a voluntary day, same thing. You don't just let them munch away and then, oh, you tell them at the end, oh, by the way, you're fasting. Like, you know, that's not what it means. Okay, so that's basically the main point I think I wanted to mention. We'll finish by saying that, you know, Allah Ta'ala, He says in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, do not call us to account for what we forget and what we do by mistake. Do not call us to account for what we forget, we do forgetfully, and what we do by mistake. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that Allah will forgive my ummah. Allah will forgive my ummah for what crosses their minds as long as they don't act upon it or speak of it. So if it's just something that crosses the mind, that this is from the mercy of Allah, that Allah doesn't call you to account for it. It's only what you act upon and what you speak about. So this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so as for those who are allowed to break their fast, I'll just quickly mention that too. So if someone's a traveller and fasting will be difficult, then it's recommended for them to break the fast. If someone's sick, now the level of sickness should be that it's difficult, more difficult than usual. If you just got a bit of a cold, that's not an excuse not to fast. But if it's something that's difficult for you, like you're feeling really dehydrated, it's hard for you, then this is an excuse not to fast. Also, the breastfeeding woman or the pregnant woman, she's allowed to break her fast if it's difficult for her or she fears for herself or her child. But a lot of people are confused with this issue. They don't realize that there should be some difficulty, not just like you might be very strong and you might find fasting nothing for you. So what excuse do you have not to fast? If there's no fear for your child, you don't have any vitamin deficiencies, you know, you find fasting easy, you don't have an excuse not to fast. So it's only if you actually, you know, you're feeling like you can't function, you know, properly, or you're worried about, you know, your baby by fasting, you've got a genuine worry because, you know, if you go to non-Muslim doctors, they'll all tell you, oh, don't fast. You know, I can tell you, alhamdulillah, I fast with all my children, you know, alhamdulillah. Like, as long as you're a healthy woman, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to fast. So don't go to a non-Muslim doctor because they'll straight away tell you, oh yeah, don't fast. But go to a trustworthy Muslim doctor who fears Allah to get a proper opinion about whether your case is one that, you know, you shouldn't fast or something like that, all right? But even if you're, either the doctor tells you or yourself, if you feel like it's very hard for you, you feel weak, you can't do everything you need to do, then there's nothing wrong with you fasting because, breaking your fast because, you know, you're pregnant or you're breastfeeding. You know, if you're feeling like your milk is just not coming at all because of your fasting, it's allowed for you to not fast. You don't make, you know, Allah says, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Like, Allah wants ease for you. He doesn't want hardship. Yes, sister, sorry.
Can I celebrate?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Why not? It's a good way. It's a good dawah for them, inshallah. If they're happy to do that, I mean, mashallah, you're blessed if your family would actually celebrate with you. Say it again? Yeah, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Why not? It's, Eid is all about, you know, getting the family together, visiting relatives. That's what Eid is all about. So there's nothing wrong with, even if they're non-Muslim relatives, there's nothing wrong with it, inshallah. Has anyone got any questions regarding anything about the rulings on fasting or anything like that? Yes.
Just when you were talking about the sniffing for the nose for wudu, so do we still sniff but we don't bring it all the way up?
Yeah, that's right. You still sniff. No, you still sniff.
Oh, okay.
You still sniff but you don't go like right up the top of the nose. Okay, an important question, like is one that normally sisters ask, is, you know, you became clean from your menstruation in the night, okay, and the time for fajr comes and you haven't taken your ghusl yet. So you should, before, like if you wake up, like obviously you knew you're clean, and you should make your intention before the adhan for fajr to fast. Even if you haven't taken the ghusl, even if you haven't had your shower to get purified from being in a state of menstruation, or even if you've had relations with the husband and you need to take ghusl, you have to have, you know, you make your intention to fast Ramadan, and you fast even though you haven't, because being in a state of tahara is not a condition of fasting. Everyone understand that? So just the most important thing is to be clean from menstruation. That's what you have to be clean from before, in order to fast. Yeah.
What if you think that you finished and then so you have your shower and whatever, mm-hmm. and then during the day you see some
actual blood?
Like discharge-y kind of.
Yeah, if it's just discharge-y, it depends. Like this, now that is, that's why those kind of things you've got to really ask. Everyone, individual needs to ask for themselves. But if you're sure you finished, you're mostly sure that you had finished, and you took a shower, you took your ghusl, and then you started fasting, and then you saw maybe a bit of yellow or something like that, don't worry about it. Okay? But if it came back full on menstruation, then of course you can't. Another issue too is you can't fast upon shak. So if you're still not sure you're finished or not, you're still waiting to see the end of your period, like that would not be counted for you, because in order to fast the fard day, you need to fast on certainty. Like you have to be certain. You can't be in a state of shak where you're not sure, am I clean or not? I'm still waiting to see the end of my period. You understand? So so in this case, you'd need to make up that day. Inshallah. Yeah.
So say if like,
it's okay, someone else talk. It happens, you know, when everyone's looking at you, your brain just switches off. Yeah.
Okay, just a quick question. Say last year you fasted and you've only got like 7 days that you need to make up.
Mm-hmm.
And since then you've fallen ill, so you're trying to get yourself healthy before Ramadan.
Yes.
And you don't think that you'll be able to fast the missed days before Ramadan, only because you're on vitamins or medicines to help you get better.
Mm-hmm.
Can you pay a expiation as...
Okay, just so we're clear, you can never, ever, ever pay or feed the poor for menstruation and postnatal bleeding. Okay, that has to always be fasted back, and no one disagrees on that with the scholars. Okay, so they have to be made up. Now, in your case, so I've got some suggestions. We still have a bit more time till Ramadan begins. Now, those fasting of those days, if you're able to, you may get better within the next week. Even if you fast one day here, one day on, one day off, You know what I mean? Even if you fast, even in the case of a Fard fast, even if you fast the day before Ramadan, it's still allowed because it's a Fard fast. Normally you're not allowed to fast on the day before Ramadan. But when it's a Fard fast you're making up, this is an exception. Okay, so because you've got to try to get them in.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, so that's what you have
before
to do.
Before the next Ramadan.
Yeah, so that's even the day before. You shouldn't leave it, without an excuse. But, I mean, if you had intended to do it and now you're stopped for a reason, inshallah, that's an excuse for you. But in general, we should try not to leave our fasting till Sha'ban anyway. Yeah. Like, we should have tried to make it up during the year, try not to leave it to the last minute. What people are doing is a little bit like when you delay your dhuhr prayer. You know, you delay your dhuhr prayer to the very end, and then something happens, and you miss it, and then you end up praying it after asr, or like at asr time. I mean, you shouldn't even just mention something here too. If you did miss dhuhr prayer for any reason, you can't pray asr first. You have to pray dhuhr first, then asr. I just want to mention that because I might make it confusing. All right, but that's what you're basically doing by delaying the fast the last minute. It's like you're delaying a prayer. You know what I mean? Because it's actually forbidden, and it's considered negligence to leave the Fard fasting until after the next Ramadan without an excuse. If someone's breastfeeding, they were sick all year, that's an excuse. That there's no blame on them. But if they if they just negligently left their Fard fasting and didn't even bother fasting it to the next Ramadan, they need to make tawbah for that. They need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and straight away make up those days as soon as possible, inshallah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so say if you think your periods are going to be finished, can you wake up with the intention for suhoor and with the intention to fast? If you put your intention, my periods are finished, I'll fast.
Yeah, of course you can do that. Yes.
But you're not sure. But
no, you wake up and you check, and if you're mostly sure, you're pretty sure, you're mostly sure that you've finished.
Yeah.
Wake up and if you don't see anything, then khalas, you take your ghusl and you've already got your intention from before.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Yes. Okay, just let's say something. Another thing we need to explain here. If you are sick, or you're a traveller, or you're breastfeeding, or you're pregnant, you still need to make up those days. The only time I don't make up days for Ramadan is two reasons. One of them is I'm very elderly and I cannot fast anymore. The other one is I'm terminally ill, may Allah protect us all, give us health, and we cannot fast anymore. Then in that case, now we feed a poor person for each day, we can't fast. But as long as you're still able to fast in the future, then you have to make up those days. All right? That's the ruling on it. Yes. That's okay.
If I'm sick the whole month,
yeah,
then I pay fidya.
No, you shouldn't pay fidya.
No.
That's what I'm trying to say. If you're sick the whole month and you know that you're still able to fast in the future, like you're sick now, you can't fast, right? But you know in the future you'll get better. Like you've got a sickness that you know will go away and you'll get better in the future, then you have to make it up later. You have to make it up. You can't pay for a poor person. Like you can't feed a poor person unless you're terminally ill. May Allah give us all health and protect us all. And you call us, you're never going to get better. That's what you most likely think you're not going to get better again. That you won't be able to fast again in the future.
So
that person who has that, they are the ones who they feed a poor person for each day. And you're saying, so if someone, okay, going back to what you're saying, if the person was terminally ill and they got their menstruation, okay, no, the same ruling, they will just feed a poor person for each day. Because Ramadan isn't fasting Ramadan on them isn't an obligation anymore because they're not able to fast at all.
Right.
Understand? But if they're not terminally ill, they know that in the future they're going to be able to fast, they have to fast whether they were sick or whether they were menstruating.
Right.
Everyone understands? Does that make sense?
I'm just sort of trying to get it from my situation.
Yeah.
When I was sick.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I shouldn't have paid video for those years.
Okay, now what I know about your case, because you thought that's, you were told, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. Because of that, what you paid was correct. Because you, at that time, you were under the impression doctors told you that, you know, that's it, you know, turn out the lights. Oh, you have to hear her story. It's a beautiful story. I protect her. I'm on Barrack. Allah gave her shifa, and Allah keeps her safe and sound. She had was diagnosed with cancer, subhanAllah, and they told her, that's it. You only got, what, a few months, was it, or 12 months? That was about 2 years ago?
Yeah.
May Allah protect her, Yorob. May Allah protect her, Yorob. Yeah, so at that time, because of that time you were going through, the ruling, you take the ruling of what you're upon then. Okay, but for other people who got a type of sickness that they have a hope they're going to get better, like they know that in the future they're going to get better, do you know what I'm trying to say? Then those are the people who they can't like feed a poor person for each day. Okay. Yes? Because you have to go upon what you knew at that time. Mm, yes. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, inshallah. anybody else want to ask a question? Yes. Yes.
Is it permissible to take something to delay your menses?
Oh, yes. Okay, so, yeah, another thing. Okay, so is it permissible? The answer is yes. It's allowed to take the pill during Ramadan if you just don't want your period. But is it preferable? No. It's not preferable to take the pill because you're changing the state of what Allah created you upon. Like, Allah created the daughters of Adam with, you know, with this, with menstruation. It's something Allah wrote for us. So, like, we should accept it and just go with it. And, like, we'll talk about that in coming weeks about what we can do when we're menstruating. We'll probably start talking about that next week or week after. It's not like the end of the world. You're menstruating, that's it, life comes to an end. you know. But if you did decide that you want to take something to avoid having the menstruation in Ramadan, then I can't say it's not allowed. As long as, you know, it's not going to be harmful and your husband is, you know, agreeing with that as well. So has anyone got any more questions, inshallah? Yes, sister.
Suppose someone had broken a few, you know, some, like maybe she left seven left, but and she was planning to do it, but yeah. She passed away before she could.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, good question. Barakallahu fiki. So if we knew that someone had, you know, had missed fasts, okay, and their fad fasts, then what the more correct opinion is her family, like her relatives, should fast that on her behalf to make up for it, because it's a wajib fast that she would have done if she was alive. She would have done that. It's like, so to fast that on her behalf in that case, inshallah. If and they can share it, like it doesn't have to be one person, just that it was 20 days owing for someone. Like, they can even share it. Like, one person could fast some on her behalf, another person could fast on her behalf like that, inshallah. Yeah. Yes?
What if, for example, someone wasn't into the deen beforehand?
Yes.
And they don't know how many days they have to make up. What do they do in that case?
Okay, when you say not in the deen, do you mean they didn't pray at all?
We're praying but didn't take fasting seriously.
Okay. So as long as someone was still praying,
yep,
and they didn't take fasting seriously, what the ulama have said, they have to estimate how many days.
Yep.
So they say to themselves, was it about, would it been, like, how many Ramadans do I think it would have been?
Yep.
Was it three Ramadans? Was it six Ramadans? You know, you've got to work it out. You say, yes, was it six Ramadans? But that's too much. I think it was only like three Ramadans. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then, you know, three Ramadans is like 90 days, okay? So what you do then is you fast back those days. So I've told many sisters, like, it might seem like a lot of days, but you think about it. If you were to fast Mondays and Thursdays for a whole year, you can knock off, I think I worked it out, let's see, what do we say, 52. So it's about, you can knock off about 100 days, close to, Yeah, or at least you can knock off at least more than 90 days if you fast Mondays and Thursdays for a whole year. And that's not too hard for you because it's Monday and Thursday. You know, it's not like you're fasting consecutively. You're splitting it up. So, and this is what you can do. And make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that, you know, the best way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make up for what we missed. And make tawbah and try to do a lot of extra good deeds to make up for whatever we did in the past, inshallah. Be in that. Has anyone else got any more questions, inshallah? By the way, your questions are, mashallah, very excellent today, I have to say. I have to commend you for your very good questions. They're very beneficial questions for everyone. Has anyone else got any more questions, inshallah? Yes, sister.
What if a teenage boy, has a nap in the afternoon, for instance?
Oh, yes.
Dream?
Good question. Very good question. If a teenage boy or anyone, if they had, this could happen to a woman even. Women can also have wet dreams. If a woman had a wet dream while sleeping, that does not break her fast because that's not done intentionally. See the importance of intentionally? So when you have a wet dream, that's not intentionally. It's like, it's out of your control. So that does not break the fast.
They have to get up
to the ghusl? Yeah, of course, to pray, they have to take ghusl. Yes. Anyone else got any more quick question? Yes, sister.
Silly question. Are we allowed to put makeup on?
While you're fasting, of course you can. You can put on makeup while you're fasting. The only thing you have to be careful with those, if you put lipstick on, you might swallow lipstick. One more thing I should mention too, about kissing the husband. I mean, in general, like normal kissing, like on the cheek, that's not going to break the fast. But if it's passionate kissing, to be honest, here again, you have to be careful about if you're swallowing saliva or something like that would break the fast. I have to mention that, sorry. but in general too, we know that being too close with each other in Ramadan, especially if you're newly married, is not very advisable because the passions could overcome and you might end up breaking your fast. That's it. I'm going to say, inshallah. But in general, kissing isn't considered to be something that breaks the fast. Has anyone got one more question? Yes, sister.
I just want to say Allah, thank you.
Fiki barakallah, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, you're welcome. You're welcome, inshallah. So join us next week, inshallah, for more topics related to Ramadan. Subhanakallah wa hamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, see you all next week. Bi idhnillah. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.